You know, Jesus was led and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God in his life. He let the Holy Spirit lead him. He let the Holy Spirit guide him all the way through his life. And tonight, it's very important that we do the same tonight. And as Jesus, as he rode in there and he got right there coming in there on Palm Sunday, before then, he made a very important statement. And tonight, if you're in this place and you say, "Preacher, I don't know how to be led by the Holy Spirit. I don't know how to be fed. I just don't know. I find myself on ups and downs. I find myself in highs and I find myself in lows. And I just don't know." I want to share with you tonight in John chapter number 7, being controlled by the Holy Ghost. That's what I want to share tonight. As Jesus went in there on Palm Sunday leading up to the resurrection, he was controlled by the Holy Ghost. He said, "Father, not my will, but thy will." What if our church here said, "Father, not our will, but thy will"? What if every Christian in this place said, "Father, not my will"? Not even if my will sounds right and it sounds correct and it sounds like it would be an amazing thing. What if I said, "But not my will, thy will"? You know, tonight I have an opinion at this church. I do. Anytime we vote on something, I have an opinion until we're voted. And once you vote on it, I don't have an opinion no more. When the church, like a while ago, what we voted on, we all had an opinion, but once it's voted, it's nothing to be discussed no more. My opinion, what I think, what I thought goes out the door. Now I get in unison with what goes on in the local body. I believe that in my life. And I believe tonight being controlled by the Holy Ghost in John chapter number 7 in verse number 37. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Being controlled by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says tonight in John chapter number 7 and verse number 37, talking about being controlled by the Holy Ghost, "And in the last day, that great day of the feast," now leading up to the Passover, "in that great feast, Jesus stood and cried." This morning he cried coming in on Palm Sunday, but here before then it said he stood and cried saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. Thank you for the business that's been taken care of tonight. But Father, we're getting into the most important business now, and that's breaking bread tonight. Father, that's being controlled by the Holy Ghost, and I pray everything we do in this place, we get under the subjection and the control of the Holy Ghost tonight. Father, I pray for the ones that are sitting there tonight. I pray you bless them. The ones that couldn't come tonight, I pray you bless them as well, Father. And Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you rain down with us. You speak to our heart tonight, and we'll be pleased to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. I ask it all tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious, sweet name, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight, being controlled by the Holy Ghost. Tonight, as we come here in verse 37, to be led or controlled by the Spirit of God, and Jesus held nothing back. The Bible says he stood and cried or proclaimed. And I want to give you three things that he proclaimed. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and you want the Holy Ghost to have a complete control over your life, it's not big things that's got to be done. It's very small and very simple, but very important. Number one tonight, I want you to look at this in verse 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried saying," if you want to be filled tonight with that Holy Spirit and you want it to have control of your life, there's a very simple thing that you must do. A person must be thirsty tonight. They must be thirsty for the Word of God. They must be thirsty for the way that God would work in their life. Hey, tonight I want to say to you, whatever you do with this book is what God will do with you. If you put into this book, you read this book, you study this book, and you let this book examine your life, I want you to know tonight it'll fill that thirst that you have in your life. The Bible says a person must be thirsty tonight. He said, "If any man thirst," tonight, if you want to know what thirsty is, have you ever been thirsty? I'm talking about on a hot summer day, Brother Roy. I'm talking about on the football field. I'm talking about over there when they wouldn't give you a water. All they had was an old cow. They took a piece of PVC pipe about 3 inches round and put a cap on the end, put a water hose to it. Can I get an amen? Hey, they drilled holes all the way down it, and that thing would squirt water this way and that way, and they'd run up there. And you know what? you were so thirsty. I'd see Brother Roy went up there and he'd run a stream that long, and you know what he'd do? He'd stick his lips right down there on that PVC. He'd get drinking all the water he could. He'd say, "That's nasty." You know what the next one did when he got done? We run our lips right down there in the same spot. Hey, I want you to know, when you're thirsty and you need a drink from heaven, it don't matter who's been at the spout where the glory runs out, you'll get there right where they're at. Can I get an amen? Hey, tonight I'm talking about a person, they must be thirsty for the Word of God. They must be thirsty for what God will do in their life. You say, "Preacher, what is thirsty tonight?" Let me give you this. That would be craving the Spirit of God. Hey, you crave it and you got to have it. You've got to have that craving on your life. There's nothing else satisfies it. Nothing else delivers it tonight. You're craving for the Spirit of God. You have a deep desire for the Spirit of God. Jesus said, if any man thirsts, if he's craving the Spirit, if he's desiring the Spirit, and if he's hungering for the Spirit of God. Hey, tonight, you know this, when you get thirsty for the Spirit of God and you want Him to pour out in your life, He will never come up short on His end. If you're thirsty tonight, He'll give you all you want to drink. He'll give you all you want to eat. He'll give you everything you need. The problem in the world we live in, people are not thirsty tonight. You know why? Because there's so many other things that's taken that thirst of the Word of God away. Hey, we got TV, we got magazines, we got cell phones, we got billboards, we got so many things. We got jobs, we got families, we got ball games, we got so many things that's taking that thirst away from the Word of God. Hey, but He says tonight that if we'll stick by that book and we'll be thirsty for that Word of God, He will fill us up tonight. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 6. A person must be thirsty. I ask you a question tonight. Are you thirsty for the Word of God? Are you thirsty tonight for that book tonight, that written Word tonight? He says in Matthew chapter number 5 tonight, in verse number 6, it being the Beatitudes, it being what God has called us to do. He said, if you want to be blessed, if you want to feel that thirst in your life, look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 5. In verse number 6, look what he says tonight. A person must be thirsty. Matthew 5, 6, the Bible says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. What's going to happen if you hunger and thirst after righteousness? You shall be filled. He will fill you up. He'll pour inside of your life. And tonight, an empty vessel will never help somebody else. An empty vessel will never, if you're empty tonight and you're thirsty tonight and you need a touch from God tonight, can I say tonight, a lost man ain't the only person who needs a touch from God. I've seen Christian, let me back up, I ain't seen no Christian, I've seen me, amen, whoa, glory, I've seen me as a pastor be so thirsty for the Word of God, preach it week in and week out, do a devotion, do a Bible study, come to men's meeting on Monday and leave so thirsty that I was about to dry up and wither. Have you ever been there? You go to church, you're doing everything you need to do, but you're so dry, you just wither away if you ain't careful. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" When you get past doing all the other things and you get on that Word of God, He said, "Blessed are those that are hunger and they thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled." But I see something else in the text. When a person gets thirsty, I've told my wife many a times, and we read a devotion together, I say, "Today the devotion's not going to do me. I've got to get into the Word of God. I've got to get into that Bible. I've got to get into what God has for me. Feed me, God. Feed me. Remove any idols out of my life. I want nothing but You." That's when you get thirsty. But let me give you this. He says, a person must be thirsty for the Spirit of God. If you're going to be controlled or led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to be thirsty. You see, what you're thirsty for is what's going to lead you. What you're thirsty for is what's going to lead you. And you'll be surprised once you get weaned off one thing, how nasty that thing is when you get weaned off of it. There was one thing that I craved and I had to have, and if it got low at the house, I about went crazy, went in DTs, and that was Pepsi. Man, I'm telling you what, we kept a 30-pack in the refrigerator, we kept a 30-pack in the bedroom, we kept a 30-pack of Pepsi everywhere. And I'd had that Pepsi in there. And I started back last January, I wasn't going to drink no cold drinks, not one soda. Water did not taste good, but I kept chugging it. I kept chugging water. I hated water, but I kept chugging water. I hated water. If you're thirsty, water is good. But listen to me tonight. If you only drink water when you're thirsty, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be dehydrated. You're not going. You're going to be bad. It's not going to be good. But I had a taste for Pepsi. Man, I could kill one of them, Brother Les. I'm talking about the New York Minute. And I said, well, what am I going to do? So I got off them things and I quit them. And I just kept drinking water, 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 water. Well, a couple weeks ago, in the refrigerator, there was a Pepsi in there. And I said, I tell you what, boy, that thing looked good. That can was sitting there and it was good and cold. You could see a little bit of the frost on it, Brother Roy. Can I get a witness? Man, I wanted one of them so bad. And I was thirsty when I come in. And it had been over a year since I drank one. You say, preacher, what does that mean? When you get in the Word of God and you get away from the world, it won't taste as good as it used to. If the things of this world still take care of your thirst, you're still in the world. You get what I'm saying? But after a year of staying away from them cold drinks, I popped the top on that. The top popped the same. The can looked the same. I went to take me a big gulp, and when I got it about right there to gulp it, that was the most... I spit that stuff in the sink, and I said, what's wrong with this thing? And Brandy said, it's too much sugar, it's too much sweetness. If all you want is the sweetness of this world, you're in trouble. If all you want is the sugar of this world, you're in trouble. You know what that water is? It ain't got nothing in it but truth. It ain't got nothing but purity in it. And the Word of God, it's got no sugar. It's got no sweetness. All it's got is the truth of God's Word in it. Yes, I understand that it says in there that there is sweet times in there as honey. I understand that. But you listen to me. It ain't all about honey. It's about the truth of God's Word. When you thirst for it and you get in there and it tells you that you're wrong and you're not right, and you don't get bitter, but you get better. And you get into the spot where the glory runs out and you get thirsty and you say, Lord God, let the Holy Ghost control my life. He'll start taking control of your life when He pours that inside of you. So I say, number one, there's got to be a thirst. You got a thirst for it. If you're not thirsty, you won't drink. You ever heard that story? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. If he ain't thirsty, he ain't going to drink. But listen to me, if he's thirsty, you can't give him enough water. He'll lip it up. You know what's wrong with the church today that we live in? We ain't thirsty. As a whole, we ain't thirsty. You'll never hear me say I'm satisfied around here. That's just not how I am. I think we could do better. I think we could do more. I think we could give. I think. Because I'm always thirsty, Brother Garrett, for what next God would have us to do. What next God would have us do? Sister Vicki showed me something this morning on that card y'all had. You had to have a population of 8,000 people for that women's conference to come to the church. Something like that, 8,000 something. I may be off a few numbers, but I was right, 8,000. You can't get 8,000. You can count hogs, horses, chickens, goats. You won't get 8,000 around here. Every deer in the country and the hogs, you ain't getting 8,000. So how did they get here? Because somebody didn't let their vision get destroyed. They was thirsty for what God would do at this local body. And they said, we don't have 8,000 people, but we can get 400 women. Do you get what I'm saying? I had somebody tell me one time, said, man, you're in an ideal place. I'd love to have a church where you got one. I said, man, we're not in an ideal place. The ideal place is sitting in town on the corner. If you think this is ideal, you missed the mark. This ain't ideal. You just don't come out here because it's ideal and McDonald's is sitting on the corner and Walmart's on the other corner. You know why people come out here? Because they're thirsty for the Word of God. They're thirsty for people to love them. They're thirsty for people to care for them. People don't care what you know as long as they know you care. And when you get thirsty and you say, I want God to pour out on me, God to pour out on my church, I want you to know tonight He'll pour out on us like we've never seen before. So I say tonight, number one, if I'm going to be controlled and led by the Spirit of God, number one, I got to get thirsty. Man, I got to get thirsty. But number two, I must drink, Brother JD. I can be thirsty all I want, but I got to drink. You know, people, when they get sick and they get down at the end of their life, one thing they quit doing is drinking. They're not thirsty. They're not eating. They're not drinking. They're not digesting. They don't want nothing. They don't want it. You can't make them eat and you can't make them drink. But tonight, as a child of God, we must never get to the place where we lose our thirst, and we must never get to the place where we don't drink. Let me show you this in the text. Oh, glory to God. Verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come. Tonight, if you're thirsty, if you're dry, listen to me, if you're dry, you can be a Christian and be dry. You can be dry. Things of this world will dry you out. You don't believe me, you go to the beach, don't do no work, just go to there. Sit on the beach in the sunshine. Don't put no umbrella and just sit there. It won't be long. You'll be thirsty. You ain't done a bit of, you ain't done nothing. You just sit there. A person must drink. Look at this. If any man thirst, let him come unto me, unto Jesus, and drink. First requirement, you got to get thirsty. And the second, you're going to have to drink. You're going to have to drink what the Holy Ghost would have you to drink. Let me give you this. A person must drink, number one, the spiritual drink of the Holy Ghost. To drink and digest what the Holy Ghost wants you to have in your life. Number two, they must freely drink. It will not be forced on you. It will not be implanted on you. It will not be forced on you. It will not be crammed down your throat. If you're going to drink it, you must freely drink. Nobody's ever drank to the Holy Ghost and was made to drink. He won't do that way. Nobody's ever been thirsty, so thirsty that he says, you're going to drink. No, no. You got as much of it as you want. You let him rule you as much and lead your life as much as you want him to lead it. Number one, tonight, a person must be thirsty. And secondly, a person must drink. Spiritually drink, freely drink. I'm not talking about sipping. Hello. I'm not talking about sipping. Y'all understand me? I'm not talking about sipping. I'm talking about drinking. I'm talking about rearing back and saying, God, I want to drink. I want to drink from the spout with the glory. I'm not talking about sipping. I'm talking about drinking. John 4:14. Turn with me there. I want to show you this. John 4:14. I'm talking about drinking. I ain't talking about sipping. I'm talking about you done got thirsty and you need a drink. Look what he says here to the woman at the well. He said this. But whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give them shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So it's going to spring forth. So if we go back to the text, Jesus is dead on the money. He always tells us the truth. Number one, a person must be thirsty. Number two, a person must drink. But the third thing I see in the text, a person will be flowing with the Spirit of God. When you get thirsty and you drink, it's going to flow. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Look what he says. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I want to break this down for you right here just as slow as I can. When you get to that place and you want the Holy Spirit to control you and lead your life, it'll flow through you and you won't have to muster it up. You won't have to call it up or do none of them things. As we got out of the business meeting, I was sitting over there and I said, Lord God, you're going to have to move. As I sit over there, I said, man, I don't even feel like preaching. Man, the transition from a business to the Bible. A transition. What transitions a man from business of the church to the Bible? The Holy Ghost of heaven. The Holy Ghost of heaven. Listen, the Spirit will flow from the belly. Have you ever laughed and it come from the belly? You ever just got so funny it started coming from the belly? It's one thing to laugh when somebody tells you something. You go, they didn't believe nothing you said. They just overlooked what you said. But when they get to rolling from their belly and chuggling, it comes from the belly. He said the Spirit will flow from the belly. But that also means the Spirit will flow from the heart. The Spirit will flow. It will not have to be primed and it will not have to be pumped. You won't have to prime it up. You won't have to pump it up. It'll do this. The Spirit has its own power. And once you allow the Holy Ghost to come inside of you, have complete control, you're not doing nothing but letting him have control. You're thirsty, you're wanting to drink, you let him flow freely. He'll just come up through your life. He has his own power to come out of you. He has his own plan for you. He says this, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Spirit has its own power. The Spirit has its own plan. And the Spirit will flow through any person that will allow him. It doesn't matter who that person is tonight. It doesn't matter how spiritual they are. This is not a spiritual thing. Listen to me. It's not how spiritual somebody is, how much Bible they know, how intelligent. That ain't got nothing to do with it. He said, if you're thirsty. Ain't that a good qualification, just being thirsty? He said, if you're just thirsty, this is what I'll do for you. Well, I don't know very many Bible verses. That's not a qualification. I've not been saved. That's not a qualification. I've not been saved very long, preacher. That's not a qualification. He said, if you thirst, I'll give it to you. If you'll drink, I'll put it on you. And he said, it'll come out of you like a flowing river. It'll come out of your belly, out of your heart. It'll come out from deep down inside. I don't know about you, but my mind tells me so many things so many times, and my mind gets distorted, and my mind gets all kind of crazy stuff sometimes. But let me tell you something, don't get crazy on me. And this is all God, Brother J.D., that's my heart. That's my heart. That's out of my heart, out of my belly, out of the deepness, deep down, that I have joy, unspeakable and full of glory. That joy that's deep down on the inside. Why do you have that joy? Because I've drank of that living water. Drink of that living water. Tonight I ask you a question. Are you thirsty for that living water tonight? Are you thirsty? I've seen people that's been thirsty, and I'm talking about they got a drink, man, they'd be wide open. But you know what? You can't live on just one drink. You can't live on just one drink. It's a daily drink. It's daily. And I truly believe as born-again Christians, that's where we get. We get away from that drink. We get away from that well. We get away from that spout. We're saved. But man, we're suffering. We're dry. You ever been around somebody who's dry? Withering up. First thing you can tell if they're getting dry is their attitude. It'll get stinking. Woo! Their approach, how they approach you, it won't be good. And they'll have no appetite for the things of God. Tonight, if you're thirsty, He'll give you a drink. If you'll drink it. And it'll flow out of you like living water. My wife, she's not in here, but I'll tell this. And Sister Kim, Sister Molly, this is just a blessing on y'all's part. The other night, I told her, I said, you go on that women's thing, I'm going to watch Ryder. Woo! Done had the little feller a long time that day. Can I get a witness? Friday's my day. No, I didn't. Mama had him a little bit Friday. Yes, she did. Yes, she did. Mama had him a little bit Friday. Brother Bradley, can I get a witness? She tells me it ain't babysitting when it's your own. And I believe that. But I had the little fella that evening. I told her, baby, you go on. I don't know if I should go or not. I said, I might ought to stay at home. What are you going to do if he... I said, listen, all he's got to be doing when you get home is breathing. He don't have to have a bath. I mean, you can look at him if he don't eat tonight. He's going to be okay. I mean, but there's one thing that kid wants, and if you give it to him, he's fine. Listen to this. He can do without little noodles. He can do without SpaghettiOs. He can do without mac and cheese. He can do without gummies. But there's one thing he won't do without, and that's that bottle. That's that milk. He won't do without it. Son, you better have you a gallon on hand. And I told her, I said, baby, you go and you go on to that women's meeting there and me and him be fine. They left at 5:05 and 5:05 me and him got on side by side and rode to dark 30. Kept him satisfied. And let me tell you what my wife said when she come home. I was done laid in the bed. Man, woo. I stressed out, brother. I ain't gonna lie to you. None gave the little fella a bath. We might have to have a new floor covering. You hear me? He had water everywhere. See, where are you going with this, preacher? Hang on. And there I laid there, just laying there. And my wife and my daughter, they come in the house, and son, you think they done had a B12 shot. You hear me? They come in the house. What y'all doing? What y'all been doing? Y'all doing good? Y'all ate supper? Y'all want some cheese sticks? And I'm like, what have y'all done tonight with my wife and my daughter? And I said, well, baby, this is what men do. You got to do this. Even if you don't want to do it, you better ask it. What? How'd it go? It was tremendous, wonderful. Let me tell you. So I had to get awake and listen. But I seen something. I seen something. I know the King's coming. And my walk with Christ is just as important as my wife's and my daughter's. If I ever put my walk with Christ above theirs, I'm in trouble. We are a family, and my walk is just as important as theirs. Mine is just as important as their walk. They get thirsty. They need a drink. They need to be overflowing with the Spirit of God, because there's times Daddy can't do it, and I need you, and I need Mama. And they walked in the house, and man, they was ready to go. And I seen two women in my life that had went to the spout where the glory run out. They was thirsty and didn't even know they was thirsty, and they came, got them a drink. But you know what? It was up to them to drink. And when they come in the house, you know how I knew they drank, Brother JD? Brother Jake, you know how I knew they drank? It's coming out of their belly. It was flowing out. It was flowing out. It was flowing out of them. Tonight, for every woman, every man, every kid in this place, as your pastor, here's what I want. Here's what I want God to do for you. I want it just to flow out. As your pastor, I don't want to have to pump it or prime it no more in my life. I don't want to have nothing. I want it to flow. I want it to flow in your life. And when you get to the place, you say, well, you're thirsty. Somebody else will know you're thirsty before you're ever thirsty. When you get to the place and you know you need a drink, you make sure you get to the spout where the glory runs out. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Tonight I'd ask you a question. Do you need a drink? Man, I'm telling you what a drink will do. It'll have you come in at 10:30 at night on fire for God, cooking cheese sticks and everything else in the house. He said, preacher, you didn't come, it didn't do you no good. Oh, yes, it did do me some good. Oh, yes, it did. So when they come in, that fired me up. You hear me? That fired me up. Because I know what this week is about. And I know the dark gloom that hangs on this week. This is what I always call it, hell week. It's what Jesus went through for us. And man, if there's anything you need to get to the place in your life, and I do too, where I'm thirsty and I just need a drink. Tonight, if that's you, I pray you get a drink tonight. Amen? You get you a drink tonight. Ask God to move on your life. Ask God to help you tonight. That we may be the church that God's called us to be. No matter what we do around here, let's do it all for His honor and His glory. Amen? Amen. Let's gather around tonight. We're going to pray.